Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. We want to start out with the fact that Jeff Bezos is entering the space race. This is the world we live in now, where, instead of being nations in space races against one another, it's just like two very, very wealthy men in space races.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, are having somewhat of a dick measuring contest. But
Whose dick can go further into space, basically? Who's
back inside
whose
them?
Science right. Dick can go further?
Jesus.
Mine's smaller.
Yeah. But moves
but
faster.
More efficient. Yeah. So Bezos actually had some interesting things to say. He was talking about how the solar system can easily support 1 trillion humans. And if we had 1 trillion humans, we would have 1,000 Einsteins and 1,000 Mozarts and unlimited resources, which I think is an interesting and underrated part of progress and the history of progress. People keep talking about how much progress is speeding up and how like science and technology is moving really fast. And I think a big part of that is, and people have speculated that a big part of that is that we have like a huge population of people, and we're also, you know, creating a form of government that more than any in history actually lets, you know, a large portion of the population contribute and have a voice. And, you know,
I mean,
in the past, like, there's a reason
to
that,
an extent
in theory,
yeah, more so than in history is all I'm saying.
In the loosest sense,
in a broad,
Billy.
Loose sense, we are moving in the right-ish direction.
Yeah.
The idea that the solar system can support 1 trillion humans, is he saying that we're going to have to inhabit other planets? Because I guess
I think that's what
as he goes
at.
On, he was saying that I believe that in that time frame, we will move all heavy industry off Earth and Earth will be zoned residential and light industry. which is crazy to be like, okay, move all that shit off, and then Earth is just a big apartment complex.
Yeah, I think the way he's envisioning it is that it's going to be like factories and shit like that, like all the stuff that's like belching gross smoke and shit that we now just relegate to New Jersey right. will actually be on other planets, and you know there will be those like giant oil refineries.
And they will just rename that planet New Jersey.
This it just sounds to me like a rich dude, very aware of his legacy at all times, sounding, because all of this is not new. It just sounds like basic science fiction.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's like a grandiose rich dude who's like, now I'm now the richest man in the world.
In the history of the world.
In the history of the world.
Yes.
And what I foresee is what everyone else foresees.
Yeah, that we cannot live on this planet forever.
And we need to go further. And but I'm the one who said it first and the loudest and can control the message because I have all the billions.
The most money.
Yes.
I mean, I don't, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think he's like really sitting at home being like, let me really theorize about
right.
space. You know, he talked to some people and was like, yeah, okay, that makes, yeah, I could put yeah. my money into that.
Yeah.
All right, fuck you. What, you need a billion?
Okay, exactly. Great. Yeah, he was like, I'm going to liquidate a billion of my Amazon winnings every year mm-hmm. for the next
cool
foreseeable.
Cool way to see your wealth.
Is that yeah. what he calls it, winnings?
His yeah. winnings.
Oh, he's a piece of shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Converting my Amazon winnings into space travel.
There's an interesting article in Bloomberg called The Massive Prize Luring Miners to the Stars, where it talks about the amount of like resources in all the different asteroids that are just like within visible like distance from Earth, and the amount of resources, like there's like $100 quadrillion worth of just raw resources that you can mine these asteroids
oh
with.
My God,
you just gotta bridle them
right.
ride them
right.
and break them.
There you go.
So it's like Armageddon. You yes. just get that same crew of like, you know, deep sea drillers out there and start mining the
you
fucking
just go
asteroids.
To strip clubs throughout Houston
it's
and Beaumont, Texas.
Exactly. All right, let's get into the stories of the day. We're trying to take a sample of the global shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now in this country mostly, but also outside of it. And we wanted to just continuing on from a story from yesterday, the mainstream media is continuing to speak truth to power by criticizing a female stand-up comedian for saying stuff that's way less offensive than the stuff they let most powerful men get away with, and especially the most powerful man in the world get away with. But we have this statement from Michelle Wolf. She was like, fuck off, I think was her exact
yeah.
statement.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that I just
look.
Admire her. She was just like, fuck it, man.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and the White House course, I mean, the WHCA kind of walked it back. I mean, like, it wasn't in the spirit of the thing.
Yeah.
But you know what? Come on. What they, the fuck I mean, did you
was,
expect?
I,
you hire a comedian to roast people.
And they
again.
Booked her with the specific description that she is like the voice of this moment because she speaks truth to power.
Yeah.
So like that's what she did, and then they were like, "Oh, we wanted this to be about inclusiveness and
yeah.
supporting."
Meanwhile, the theme is like celebrating the First Amendment.
What's right. crazy is she killed for like all of it and had so many funny jokes, and the one thing they focus on is like she was mean to Sarah Huckabee Sanders because of her makeup, and it's like she complimented her makeup.
Yeah,
right?
Well, what the fuck?
Yeah,
it's so stupid.
I mean, that smoky eye was on point.
Yeah, but
the Sarah Huckabee Sanders thing. As much as, yeah, there were two jokes that might have been about her appearance.
The softball thing?
The softball thing and the Aunt Lydia thing, which
I didn't
the
even,
Aunt Lydia thing is funny as fuck.
See, I feel like that was such an inside reference. I didn't like that joke because you had to watch that show to
yeah,
get it.
If you have watched
elitist.
It, though, it's funny
that felt,
as fuck.
That did feel like that was a coastal
wow.
elitist
yeah.
joke.
Check your Hulu privilege,
yeah.
Michelle Wolf, because I'm out here with no Hulu
I
fucking
know.
Account.
You're going to assume everyone watching, first of all, has Hulu, and then second of all, watched The Handmaid's Tale. It's like so much to
that's
to
that
need.
Venn diagram overlap, very specific. But
yeah.
in that room, it makes sense.
And yeah. I feel like, yeah, I feel like they couldn't have been that offended because none of them have seen the show.
No, they just didn't like that they got the smoke and mm-hmm. it hurts, so you got to find a reason to get mad.
Yeah.
I get it. Look, you don't know how to take a joke. It's like when, you know, you flame the kid at school who's like, well, the teacher.
Yeah.
Look.
But the yeah. media got mad because they also got made fun of.
Yeah, so. And they also need to also pretend like it was offensive, too, to maintain their relationships, to have access to some of these politicians.
Yeah. Like, hey, she's our friend. She lies to us every day
yeah.
and then, like, demeans us and belittles us. And
but
is
we're
like,
okay
that's
with
stupid.
That.
That was so weird to me that the New York Times, like Maggie Haberman, even.
Yeah, fuck
like,
Maggie Haberman.
I was well, Maggie like, Haberman, what? She's her whole deal is to get, she has to kiss ass to get access, and all, you know, we don't have to talk about her.
Mueller, his questions for Trump have leaked.
What?
It's a list of what, 40, 50?
49 questions?
49 questions. Yeah. That the effect these questions had on me, it was like almost a reality check where some of the things that I had digested and moved on from like a while ago are sort of put into the context of like a baseline of normalcy.
Like of what an investigation would look like into something like this.
And just like stuff, he has questions about behavior. He's like, so why'd you do that? Why'd you fire Comey? Why are you berating your attorney general in public on Twitter all the time? Just like asking those questions. It's like, oh yeah, these events that I have just like normalized in my mind are fucking crazy. And like completely the behavior of somebody who, you know, in the cold, sober light of morning is behaving like an actual guilty criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, this kind of sucks for Mueller, though, because it just gives Trump. Would Trump already get these?
So this is the way this worked is Mueller sat down with Trump's lawyers and said, here, in order we want you to like have Trump meet with us. So we're going to give you the questions ahead of time. And they read these to them. And
well, did they read them, though?
They told them the questions, and Trump's attorneys were taking them down, basically trying to write them down as fast as possible. So people are speculating because of the way the questions are worded. It's not fully like legal, and so there's also grammatical inconsistencies.
Right.
But so they think that these aren't actually from like Mueller's list of questions. These are Trump's attorney's sort of version, like what they heard.
Well, they said,
down.
Yeah, because the way that probably happened was that they sat with Mueller and he just broadly outlined these topics.
Right.
And then that's when they're like, okay, these are probably the questions that are going to be asked.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's why, I mean, again.
He's not trying to do a gotcha thing. He's just saying, this is what I want to know, man.
Yeah, like, but that's why John Dowd quit, because remember, he was trying to be like, dude, we cannot have Donald Trump answer any of these fucking questions because he will self-own and just lie his way through this thing and it will be a major fucking problem.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine, like, these are such specific questions. Like, what did you mean when you told Russian diplomats on May 10th? Like, Trump doesn't even remember that, I bet.
Right.
Like, he's just, like, I mean, they're going to tell him what to say, but even if they tell him what to say, he's going to go off book
he
and
likes
be crazy.
He likes to freestyle. Yeah. He likes to jazz.
He likes
baby.
To go off top.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's many ways to, you know, kind of take this in. I think one thing is that it clearly, again, underlines the fact that Robert Mueller, he's got a plan. We've seen it with the way he's been seeding these investigations in other offices throughout New York and Virginia and things like that. But yeah, it seems like it's just getting hotter for Trump. And the fact is their defense to these kinds of things is getting worse and worse because like Trump's like, well, these just prove like there's no collusion or anything. It's like, motherfucker, their question is directly talking about what knowledge did you have of any outreach by your campaign to Russia about potential assistance to the campaign?
Miles is doing very broad hand gestures.
Interlocking my fingers,
I guess,
like things, Legos.
Things like that, he could just be like, I had no, whatever. But things like this are so hard where they're like, what did you mean your interview with Lester Holt about Mr.
Exactly.
Comey in Russia? It's like, I'm trying to think how his lawyers...
He can't answer that in a way that's a defendible position.
Yeah, there is no way.
Yeah, Trump's response in Twitter was so disgraceful that the questions concerning the Russian witch hunt were leaked to the media. Leaked in quotes for some reason because he
he's like,
don't know how to use those.
To me, that means that he leaked them or something.
Well,
leaked.
People are speculating it must have been from his side because they are basically a moron's version of what these questions would be like. So they're clearly not like how Mueller would have written them. Then he says, no questions on collusion. Oh, I see. You have a made-up phony crime collusion that never existed and an investigation begun with illegally leaked classified information?
Right.
Nice.
Also, the other one of, it would seem very hard to obstruct justice for a crime that never happened. It's like his idea of obstruction, too, that it could be like, well, crime has to be committed. And then that's when you obstruct. It's like, no, you're trying to avoid justice, so you obstruct it so it doesn't touch you.
Yeah, you can't just be like, well, you didn't get me for that other crime, so I couldn't have been obstructing anything.
Hey,
like,
wait,
no,
what
that's
crime?
How obstructing, that's
in
how...
the interview, Robin was like, I'm sorry, oh, what other crime? Oh, nothing. I'm just saying, hypothetically, is what I would be doing.
Right. But yeah, he asks him about the Lester Holt thing. It is really just like, if you had asked me to spend a month just going back over the details of the case, a lot of these are like the questions I would have had. Like, okay, so that clearly guilty thing you said, what did you mean by that? Right. Like, just very like open-ended.
I mean, right now, can we think of a way his lawyers could tell him to answer that? He's like, well, I said I was thinking about Russia when I fired him. But I was just like thinking about
like
it,
literally I was
itself.
Thinking about it as I said that, yeah. Not that I was considering that as a motivation to him. Like I'm saying,
it was just on my mind.
Yes, exactly. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it would be really weird. And that's too complex of a logical dance.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's a form of logical jujitsu that Trump has a white belt in. He's not ready to fucking, he's
I was
not ready to
about
roll.
Russia in the Napoleonic Wars.
Right, exactly.
For some reason, that's, one question. So a lot of these are things that he's making reference to things we already knew about, but, you know, putting them in the context of, oh, yeah, these are things you would want to know about if you were trying to find out if a crime happened. One question that I was especially intrigued by, he asks what Trump knew about campaign aides, including the former chairman, Paul Manafort, seeking assistance from Moscow. Which implies that there is actual like knowledge of some form of contact from Paul Manafort and campaign aides like asking Moscow for assistance, which we don't have any evidence of. We don't know of the existence of any evidence of, but that question implies the knowledge of some evidence of that.
Yeah. Again, they must know so much. Because if you look at like people like Vanderswan or whatever, that one lawyer, and Rick Gates, who like lied thinking Robert Mueller doesn't know everything, and he just comes back, he's like, fam, I know you lied because I already have all the information.
Right.
Like, I can't imagine how close to the chest these cards are that even if like with these questions being asked, you know, what the direction of this investigation could truly go. And really, Robert Mueller really is the only person that knows.
I mean, do you think that the play here is that he like commits perjury in this interview and then that's how he takes him out?
I don't even think that's going to be the way it I mean, it's not clear what could happen. Yeah. I don't know. Would Congress be willing to do anything, you know? Because their whole strategy is now just make sure the Democrats do not get the House so I don't get impeached. Yeah, or right. An impeachment debate doesn't even begin. So
what do you guys think of how Comey was like, I don't want him to be impeached. I want the American people to vote him out so that that's like
yeah, it's, you know? It's a tough pill to swallow, but it's kind of like there's like a wise dad aspect to that of sort of like, let's not use this as a get out of jail free card, because I think also for people who support Donald Trump, that will give them motivation to begin to cook up all kinds of conspiracies and whatever.
Yeah.
If whether he can just be, you know, somehow we can hamstring him by making sure that the Republicans no longer control Congress. Mm-hmm. And that way there's a better check on his power. That could be a good thing. But yeah, I can also see like by letting the process work in terms of voting him out might just be a more, it's like, look, people fucked up and voted for him. You made your bed, now sleep in it. But at the same time, God, fuck,
he's
the stakes
like,
are fucking high, man.
He's got so many more years to do fucked up shit.
I see what he's saying, and part of me wants to like be on board with it, but the other part too is like, yo, I don't want to even know what the worst of this presidency could be.
Yeah.
And that's the other part of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I could definitely see a scenario where nothing fully gets done, like even if Mueller completes his investigation, but the GOP just refuses to,
right,
you know, do anything about it. I could see a version of this where he only gets in trouble once the Democratic Party controls both branches of the government, basically.
Yeah.
Finally, Billy Wayne, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
That jury duty is a panel of your peers. I was just on jury duty.
What did that panel look like?
Well, first of all, it was 50-something people. I guess I can talk about it now. I got dismissed. I was there for 5 days.
Oh, Jesus.
Kept having to come back because I was like deep in the numbers.
Oh, shit. Oh, because you had to go in on Monday, and then they're like, sorry, I'm going to have to come back Tuesday. Sorry, I'm going to have to come back Wednesday.
Wednesday, Thursday, we were off Friday and Monday, so then I had to come back again on a Tuesday.
Right.
You get $15 a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
So I got a $66 check because they did some kind of weird math where whatever the
commute is to, yeah, right.
But it's like straight. They don't do like
any, like roads. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like straight. It was a medical marijuana case. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, just let me talk right now. You're going to let me go.
Right, right. Exactly.
But sitting there, it was fascinating either how misinformed people were about marijuana. Mm-hmm. One lady said it was against her religion. It was really hard not
what
to
What was her religion?
Oh, you can't ask. That's the most frustrating thing. When they talk, you can't be in like the panel and just raise your hand. You're like, yo, can we get some backstory on what the fuck she's talking about?
Yeah. Are you Jeff Sessions your Christ figure?
I mean, it was like, and then some people you can see are figuring out how to get out of it.
Right, right, right.
And then I was just very honest as soon as I found out it was medical marijuana. I was like, oh, I'm going to get out of this just by telling the truth.
Right.
But also, $15 a day. A friend of mine brought this up. He's like, you can't tell me that doesn't affect justice.
Right.
Where mm-hmm. it's like, a lot of people don't want to be there.
Right.
It messed up five of my days.
Right, right, right.
Five. I mean, granted, I don't have a regular job where I have to be somewhere.
Right.
But everyone else pretty much did.
Yeah.
And the whole time you're just like, you can see people in their head like, I'm losing this much money being here.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
So I want to make
this. Yeah, and a lot of people are fucking angry in there too.
Yes.
I've never been in like a holding room with potential jurors with relaxed people.
No, no. People were mad. And then the people that want to be there, you're just like, what is wrong with you?
Right,
right, right. They're like, I want to put someone in jail.
Yes, yes. That whole thing, like, that's a very real thing.
Yeah, there are people, sitting, right?
Where you're like, I don't.
But that is a bias, right? That bias is who the panel is going to be. It's going to be retired people. It's going to be people who like have some weird like axe to grind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been to jury duty like 3 times, and the only time I did it was like when I was in college and like hated my summer job, and so like didn't actively try and get out of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was on like a wrongful death case with a bunch of other people. Yeah, it's like all
you have the life
people.
Experience to be thinking about a wrongful death too, as a dude trying to get out of a college job.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Gotta have a good opinion on things.
Right, but yeah, it's a very specific type of person.
Yeah, I was. Sure. Tip to LA people: try and go to the Burbank courthouse.
Because, I was in East LA.
Oh yeah, if you go downtown, there. I mean, they have a lot of cases going through there. But when I was in Burbank, they were like, "Yeah, we only have one courtroom open right now, so." I think we're not even hearing anything today. Yeah. I've gone twice and been like asked to go.
Yeah, I did Santa Monica, and they were like, "Does anybody like? Is it not convenient for you to be here because of work?"
Right.
And like half of the people just like moved to the section they said to move to, and they're like, "All right, later." I'm like, "Let us go after 2 days." It's fucking wonderful.
They're like, "Hey, any of y'all like not trying to be here at all?"
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Cool. This judge was like, he took his time asking people.
Right. Right.
To get. And then when it was my turn, I was like, I'm prepped for this.
Right.
There were four defendants. Three of them had public defenders. One of them couldn't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Is
it for possessing medical marijuana?
No, it was like
running a dispensary
or
something?
I think Probably. It was some kind of weird zoning.
Right, right.
And when it was my turn, you know, you have to say if you've been arrested before, and I've definitely been arrested before. And one of them was possession of marijuana. And then I could tell when you have to say your job, and I was like, I'm a comedian.
Right.
I could feel all the eyes. Like,
right.
Like people weren't paying attention.
Right. And they're like, oh, he's going to say something
like,
funny.
Okay, this guy is fearless. And like at one point, the judge is like, you know, you can say anything you want. We're not going to judge you here. And I, without even thinking, I was like, I don't care if you judge me or not. And that got a huge laugh.
Right.
And then I just said, listen, I'm a patient for medical marijuana. And then the judge made this big thing the first day about how you don't want somebody in there to get into the jury and pollute it and to get, you know,
yeah, right.
blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm going to tell you, if I got on this jury, that's what I would do, because since Citizens United passed,
right,
the laws aren't being made to represent the people.
There you go. Well,
so and
lawyers
this is,
are like, get him the fuck
oh,
out.
This, oh, but the defense attorney's eyes lit up, and they were smiling, and they were like, keep talking.
Yeah.
Because I was polluting. I knew what I was doing, and I said, I was like, and it's obvious there's three public defenders here. No one made any money off this. This is a weird political case.
Right.
And the judge goes, okay, I understand what you're saying. Thank you very much. Like, he cut me off real quick when I was getting on my soapbox. I was like, so I don't understand. And he was like, well, you understand, like, could you separate who makes this law? Because this is like a zoning. And I was like, no, I understand that. And my problem comes with who is regulating these laws and zoning.
Right.
Is it a marijuana conglomerate or a representative of someone with a ton of money?
Right, right.
So they're just boxing out the little people?
Right.
And he goes, okay, so we'll just get to the thing. Could you blah, blah, blah? I was like, absolutely not.
So we'll get to the part where we kick you the fuck out of here.
Yeah, or just talk about jury nullification.
Yeah.
And then they'll really get you the fuck out of
there. It was clear they were going to.
You don't want people knowing about that.
And when I said, this is a clear political case right there, it was like, I'm out of here.
They're like, but what if I wanted to nullify this law as a jury member? Like, don't let people know about that power.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And we wanted to do a quick check-in with Kanye because there was some news in the world of Kanye since last we spoke. He stopped by TMZ to do one of his patented Kanye/Trump rants.
Straight rant.
Just goes Kanye jazz. on the inhabitants of the TMZ office, and one of the places that he ventured was talking about slavery and saying that slavery was a choice.
Yeah, that I think officially signaled to most of the world that Kanye has left Earth and is now joining the rest of the sort of out of touch people and the unread, unlearned people who are conflating free thought with critical thought. Because yes, he, again, after that, and he got flamed clearly for saying something as inflammatory and absurd that slavery is a choice. That's why, by definition, it is called slavery. Anyway, look, I don't get me spinning my wheels on this.
Man, words don't have definition. Yeah.
But then he had to back it up because then there's this whole Twitter hashtag of slavery was a choice. Which, shout out to Twitter. One of the few times you like Twitter is because in mass people have put their senses of humor on display to talk about such an absurd notion like slavery being a choice.
Yeah.
But then that obviously because Kanye's ego will not allow him to say that he was ever wrong. He was like, you see, that was an idea I had.
Right.
And I don't really believe this is an idea. And see, that's my free thought.
Once again, I am being attacked for ideas that I'm putting out there. What did he say?
It's some bullshit. It doesn't even matter. Like, essentially, you know, you can't use the free thought defense to back up when a hot take blows up in your face.
So he's confusing freedom of thought with not knowing how history works, which, yes, not being aware how things have actually happened frees your mind because then you think anything can happen, or you think, yeah, maybe slavery was a choice. Who knows? Because you haven't read about history. You don't actually
Or you don't know what the word slavery means.
Right, exactly.
That precisely.
By definition,
it's always
not a choice.
It's always the people who know the least history, and sometimes very smart people who just don't know anything that actually happened or don't know like what words mean that confuse freedom of thought with just being able to think whatever the fuck you want, whether it has any coherence to the truth.
So anyway,
it's consequences. It's freedom of consequences.
Right.
Exactly. I want to say and do whatever I want without anyone else reacting to me.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's not how anything works.
Right.
And also, he's a really, really talented music producer. There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's treat him like that.
Yeah, well, I think the outrage just becomes, again, because the content of his music seemed so aligned with everything that is not what he is right now, that the reason why he's in the news is people are getting over the shock of being like, oh, this guy was, I think, just selling this idea of empowerment and shit just to sell records.
Without
a
doubt.
Right, and then, but they can't also, I think it's even harder to grasp that a person of color would sell that out, you know, so quickly.
I'm not black, I'm OJ.
Yeah, right, okay. Exactly, okay.
That's what, as soon as this Kanye stuff started, that's the first, I didn't tweet it or anything, but that's the quote that came to my mind.
Right.
Was like, he's living in a bubble now.
No, exactly, 100%.
And to me, he's more proof that it's rich versus poor more than color or any other group.
100%.
He is the proof of once you get a certain amount of money in a capitalistic society, you own a lot.
Yeah.
It's power.
And you've left the real world.
And you are not. Roseanne is another fucking example of that.
So suffice it to say, he thought he was at TMZ just to get some clicks and say some crazy shit. And after he did his really cool take on history, he then posited to the entire bullpen at TMZ what their thoughts were on his new ideology.
Do you feel that I'm feeling, do you feel that I'm being free and I'm thinking free?
I actually don't think you're thinking anything. I think what you're doing right now is actually the absence of thought. And the reason why I feel like that
is because Kanye, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to believe whatever you want. But there is fact and real world, real life consequence behind everything that you just said. And while you are making music and being an artist and living a life that you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice. Frankly, I'm disappointed. I'm appalled, and brother, I am unbelievably hurt by the fact that you have morphed into something, to me, that's not real.
That is what I think most people wanted to say to fucking Kanye to his face for the last couple weeks, or last week at least. So yeah, that was Von Lathan.
Just a TMZ reporter.
Who's a TMZ guy, yeah.
And the most appropriate time for that Stephen A. Smith cadence.
Right, exactly, yeah.
That's when it's called for.
Right. That- no, 100%. And you could tell that Kanye was, as like when you look at the shots of this exchange go down, he's kind of thinking like, oh, wow. Like his gears are going because he's having to have a moment. He's like, well, none of the sycophants around me talk
exactly.
like this.
That's yes. it.
And I think that it was an interesting moment for him because he goes everywhere and everyone kisses his ass and blows smoke up his ass like he ain't saying shit that's fucking wrong or completely ignorant. And then cut to someone who is outside of his circle, you know, taking him to task on all the shit that he's saying.
Was it live when that happened?
Like, was it being broadcast live? Yeah. No, that video, I think, was cut together. But, I mean, that was a moment that had just happened. And
but it's also not in his controlled environment and everything, like not in his studio.
No,
so
no,
he
no because he sat
out.
Down first. When he said the 400 slate, he was with, like Harvey Levin and the dude with the dreadlocks. That's when he said that other shit. And then when he got up, that's when he was like, well, what do y'all think? And that's when the people in the bullpen were like, actually, yes, I have something to say. Right. So, yeah, shout out to Von Lathan. And, again, yes, I don't think we need to discuss this much further because, you know, there are even studies that find that, you know, wealthy people are less cooperative when income inequality is visible to them.
Mm-hmm.
They are less likely to share. Like, there was a game that was set up, I forget at what, or I think it was at Yale, where they did a bunch of experiments where they're like, people from around the world, they grouped them into online networks to play this, like, economics game. And each participant was given like an income. So like some person was going to be wealthy, some person not so much, some person like middle class or whatever. And when they said, okay, here's the game. If you cooperate, you will be contributing some of your wealth. You'll give up some of your wealth so everyone else's fortunes go up. But if you defect, that means you pay nothing and you can still reap the rewards of other people paying into you to lift you up. Now, when those people saw what they had relative to other people who had the higher incomes were not willing to share. When the inequality was invisible, everyone was more likely to cooperate with each other. So, like, already you begin to, like, just when you know you have more, there's just this thing, this part of us or certain people that just sort of does not allow them to sort of, like, you know, there is a phenomenon that sort of wealth status can affect how willing you are to.
It's like a lizard brain thing.
Right. Yeah. It's like, yeah, they become immediately defensive. They're like, whoa, well, you know, people are going to think that this is unfair because it is.
Well, I had the thought, like, if I was a billionaire, it was because of what Michelle said at the end of her thing where she was like, Flint still doesn't have. I was like,
right.
I just thought of like who the richest people were. Like, they could throw a check and
$50 million.
Fix
that's
that.
All they need.
And then I was like, well, you know, if I had $50 million, you know, what precedent are you setting for blah, blah, blah? I understand that thought. But then it was like, oh, that's why I would never be a billionaire is because I couldn't keep that money like that.
Right.
I would have a certain amount of money for me, and then everything else would just be because of the way I was raised.
Right.
Like, I've read those studies like that, too, where it's like people with money, it's not that they don't think of community as much because they don't have to.
Right.
And I learned that when I was in a fraternity in college. Like, I look back and it was like, was not a good experience at the time or anything. You know, I had fun and there's some times, but like looking back, I was like, but I learned how people that had money operated.
Right.
So there was like times where I just didn't understand like how they thought because I was like, no, we're putting this money in. We're all going to do this thing. And
right.
They're like, no, I got it. It's like, I'm taken care of. And where I was thinking of the group.
Yeah.
As a whole. And so it was like, I remember being very frustrated not understanding that, but as I got older, looking back, I'm like, oh, they weren't dickheads. They just, it's something that never occurred to, it's weird thing to have empathy for
and
bad people.
Yeah, and Kanye's around a bunch of people who will just say yes. So that coupled with his ignorance is a very bad combination.
Yeah, and the idea that you just mentioned of it being more a thing of rich people versus poor people, I think, is the most dangerous idea in America. The idea that people do not want anybody to have, which I think there's a reason that Martin Luther King Jr. got killed once he started pointing that out, and why RFK got killed when he started made poverty instead of like anything else his main mission. Yeah. And then I also think
RFK got killed because his dad fucked over the mafia, if we're being honest.
Well, they were both focusing on that and got killed in the same
year. Well, on paper,
year.
He was focusing right. on that. Yeah. cue the Curb music. Right. But yeah.
But I think on the other side of the coin, the idea, like having Kanye come around to the rich people's side and be like a cultural force that people from all economic strata identify with, that's why you're seeing this like outpouring from the right of people being like, yes, finally, right. we got one. Like, well, we got also, somebody who can like convince them to just be cool.
Because like you're saying, Kanye doing this also further deepens the racial divide too, mm-hmm. which is a key element to not getting people who are disenfranchised to not focus on race and be like, wait, hold up. We're an entire class of people that is being affected like this. And with Kanye doing this kind of shit, it further distracts people from the idea of this kind of the haves and the have-nots of sort of like being like, because now everyone's like, you know, within the community of people of color, it's like, yo, what the fuck is this dude talking about? And now it's just all about what is this guy doing, trying to figure him out, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. When really it's like, no, let him go. We have better let work to do. It's just like there are people who actually
him
need,
and Ben Carson, let him go.
Oh, yeah, Ben Carson is. He's been gone.
But he's the same if you, and I'm not talking about race at all. I'm just talking about the same kind of, the man is a brain surgeon and brilliant brain surgeon.
Right. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. He doesn't need to do anything else.
Yeah.
Like I have a friend who works at a hedge fund. He doesn't run it. I don't even know how he got the job. It's pure nepotism. It has to be. But he talks about, he's like, we get a lot of doctors money because they think they're good at other stuff.
Right.
He's like, a lot of doctors don't have money because they just throw money at the dumbest stuff,
mm-hmm.
like goats or like, you know, llama farms and stuff like that.
Right.
Because they think they're like athletes
mm-hmm.
because they're really good at one thing.
Yeah.
They think they're good at everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what's happening to Kanye is we build him up because he's good at beats.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, I'll wave from Earth as his spaceship goes off.
Right.
See you, bro.
Good at beats.
Come right. back when you wake up.
What is something like you think is underrated?
Underrated, Bing. Bing, the search engine.
Ooh.
Bing, the search engine, gets
hot
so much
take.
Shit.
Wait,
it's so check this out. Bing is, you know, it's a punchline, and no one would ever use it. But if you are looking for, let's say, a rare live performance on a Japanese site or a music performance on a French, basically international stuff that isn't filtered out by Google's heavy search thing. And I'm not even talking about porn. I am talking about porn, but yeah. I'm not just talking about
porn.
You
keep winking.
Yeah.
You got something in your eye.
Yeah. So basically,
hand gestures.
Bing is a more thorough video search engine. It's not the best, like, actual result search engine, like, as the list of stuff in text, but for video, I think Bing is highly underrated. And the proof is in the pudding. I don't think it'll be like that forever. Who knows? This stuff fluctuates all the time. But if you just think of artists you like and you want to find something rare, go to Bing, search for that, and then go to Google, also search for that, and then just compare, and you'll see that Bing is actually good.
Yeah. Oh, shit. No, you might be right. It was funny. I was with super producer Nick Stumpf last week, and we were talking about Billy Preston. The fifth Beatle? Is that what they call him? Yeah. Anyway, and we're talking about this one performance I did for the concert for Bangladesh that I could not find on YouTube anymore. And I was like looking for it, and I just binged that shit right now.
Really?
Yeah.
You could probably download it too.
But it was
They're
on Daily Motion,
super...
so you know, maybe I'm just too lazy. I think maybe that's what it is.
Well,
too.
That makes sense.
We don't.
That Google owns YouTube, so they're only giving you YouTube results.
Well, if you go to videos,
favored.
They have the other ones too. But yeah, it will.
But they heavily favor Whereas Bing. Look at that. That's pretty.
Just binged it. Wait, why do I already have an account on here? Oh, shit. Okay, they got me. I'm in the Matrix. Never mind.
Yeah, we often just pick one thing and, like, that's the best, and then we won't try the other. But same with browsers. Like, it fluctuates which is better, Firefox or Chrome. Like, Chrome busts ahead, and then it gets kind of bogged down with stuff, and Firefox is on top. And
there were, like, even a couple months last year where Safari was actually good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember
Opera
that?
Was super fast in, like, 2012.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Opera
was
the way
shit.
To do it, but now Opera's behind.
But somebody should have, like, a Rotten Tomatoes of browsers where you can just, like, keep track of which one you should be using at any given time. Because, I need to know. I've just been... That's true. I just use whatever one I've been using.
God, we're just sheeple, man.
Did you ever use browsers as like a burner browser as like growing up if you wanted to look at pornography or something like that, you would use that browser so you wouldn't a deleted history is very suspicious. But if you have a whole new browser that you could delete, it's like there was nothing to even you burned the building down. That was my little trick.
I was lucky enough to have an old ass computer in my room that I could look at the internet with. And back then, in my day, there was only Sublime Directory for porn. And it was a whack ass website that was just like weird. It was like Sublime Directory. Yeah,
huh?
Yo, shout out to anybody who remembers Sublime Directory.
Yeah,
that was
list.
Like an old school.
Just a list of stuff. There's this whole history of the internet and different sections and how we used it, whether it's porn or looking for video or news or anything.
Right.
That's just maybe it is covered a lot, but I don't think we look at the internet as how big of a thing it is. Or actually, we do. There's infinite amount of content of everything everywhere, but. I haven't recently reflected of that. I'm thinking of decades all the time. I'm thinking of, there's the 2000s, and then there's the 90s, and the 80s, and 70s. But a whole bunch of shit has happened within cyberspace while the outside looks the same. Like my friend who's a substitute teacher was saying that he looks at those pictures of the graduating class of 2017 and the one from 99, and it's the same clothes. Like the clothes... varies a lot in the 80s, 70s, 60s, but fashion stopped evolving towards the millennium. And then after the millennium, the thing that started evolving was the cell phone. The device is what changes in people's hands.
We just stopped giving a shit.
Yeah, because now it's funny, like when you go to places like, you know, like a Urban Outfitters or whatever, and people want to buy clothes that look like old bullshit clothes that like were hand-me-downs to us in the 90s. We're like, I want an oversized Fila t-shirt. And they're like, you're overpaying for that. And also take that FUBU off, young woman.
Right.
I haven't been in a Hot Topic in so long.
I just picture all kids today having face tattoos and the unicorn frappuccino dreads.
That's true. We saw the one dude at lunch the other day who was like, are you trying to look like Lil Pump? That's not a look. Off-brand Lil Pump is not something you want to look like.
I think if one out of every 100 kids in this generation have that look, it's still going to – that's how I'm going to picture them from now on, the Lil Pump dreads. Going back to the subject of Michael Cohen, there's a story that broke fairly recently that he – owes all these back taxes because he was long on taxi cab medallions, which are these things. The New York Times podcast, the Daily Nothing, not even Daily Zeitgeist.
Is it called Daily Nothing or The Daily?
It's basically called The
Daily
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's
it's called Michael Barbaro's Fest.
Michael Barbaro's
I don't know
quiet
the reference,
orgasms.
But I like it.
Yep, don't worry about it. That's for us to have our secret rivalry with a much bigger podcast.
No, they know about it.
Yeah, they know about it.
You guys are big, right?
They're scared of us.
No, I was lying to you when I said we were big.
Oh, really?
I just wanted to get you on the show.
You're bigger than me. You have a building.
Yeah.
Well, we might get kicked out. We're actually squatting. The real company will probably show up in about an hour, and we got to act like we're janitors.
But in addition to all of the paying off of Stormy Daniels and all the other illegal shit that Michael Cohen was doing for Trump, the search warrant to raid Michael Cohen's everything, like everywhere Michael Cohen is, was based on the fact that he had not been paying taxes on all these taxi medallions. And he's like tied really closely with this guy who's known as his name is Evgeny Gene Friedman, known in New York as the Taxi King. He operated more than 800 cabs and was basically skimming $5 million off of surcharges that were supposed to go to the government. According to a report in Page Six, Cohen once put Friedman up, the Taxi King. He put him up in Ivanka and Jared's apartment after Friedman attacked his wife before they got divorced. And Friedman is also in trouble because he once had this conversation with a former business partner. He said, "Don't fuck with me. You know how I am. You know how I roll. I will kill you, your wife, and your kids, and maybe I will let you survive, actually." So
that's tight.
Wait, didn't he say kill you, your wife, and your kids, and then let
maybe,
you survive? Didn't he already kill you?
He's like, "Oh, actually, you know what would be cool if I let you survive and killed your wife and your kids." Because
if he kills you first and then your wife and kids,
died no
before
backs.
Seeing your wife and kids die.
Yeah. Right. Come on,
that's the worst order to do
the
it.
Fuck
if you're
kind
really
of mobster, are you?
Yeah, it's just these weird, it's just such a dark, weird, shady world where like, you know, Michael Cohen's got his hands in all these different places, and then we find out like his uncle owned like the spot the Russian mob like to kick it at in Brooklyn. Like, it's very clear like they come from a certain world, and they're not even the good versions of it.
Right.
And not that there's a good version of organized crime, but like they're clearly
respectable their
abilities
sleekness.
Of deception are just so they're like it's, Bush League.
They're disorganized crime, it seems like. They just like can't like Thank keep their you. Shit straight. Fire,
oh,
fire,
wow.
fire.
Wow, there
boom,
you
boom,
go.
Boom.
There he is.
We're gonna go to a break on that. we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
Billy, I know you're a very big baseball fan, a former player. That the Rockies are doing something very interesting called the Business Person Special. Now, that is not a massage parlor deal. This is a deal for $21. A business person, someone who just wants to do work, can get a standing room only ticket with a ledge to put your laptop, a cheeseburger, fries, and a beer, and Wi-Fi. So you can now work at the ballpark because baseball games are so slow moving. They're like, fuck it, you could probably do work here too.
That's smart.
Yeah.
It's what we call in the industry a two-screen experience in the world of bullshit marketing.
Yeah,
phrases.
I mean, but what's funny is, like, I think in the Denver Post that, like, someone, a couple people went to a couple games and, like, yeah, it's mostly people just taking advantage of, like, the deal. They're, like, a couple people that did have laptops, they were having to deal with people, like, spilling beer near their laptops.
Say, yeah,
shit. Yeah, so they're still working it out. But, again, I think it does make sense, like, because I think there's an attendance issue at Major League Baseball games, especially during a day game midweek.
Because there's 162.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Every team plays 162, so it's like you can't feel 40,000 people.
No.
Even when they're good.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, a fucking midweek day game, rest in peace. If it's not during the summer, like, just, it's not many people.
I look
that
for
time.
Those just because that fits my schedule.
Right.
And there's still not enough of those. The midweek game. Yeah.
How many are there, maybe? Like,
a lot of them are Sundays.
Right.
Sundays is like the
day
for it. But to me, a Wednesday noon 1:30 game, come on.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Well, if you have free time.
I'm also like, yeah, and if I lived in the 1950s,
right,
where there's only baseball, so I could just skip out of work. You know, I'm already a little drunk from work anyway.
Right.
That was like one of the excuses. It's like tuberculosis or you got tickets to the game. Those are excused absences from work. The Karate Kid has been revived as a YouTube Red series. This made me very nervous. The only movie that I've seen almost as many times as Jaws is the original Karate Kid. It was like my favorite movie growing up. Love the movie.
Why you asked me if I knew Mr. Miyagi when you met me?
Yes. I ask all Asian people when I meet them that
including
question.
Your wife, and she was like, I'm Korean.
Yes.
Okay.
But
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail you. I had to get that joke in.
No, it's not a joke. I really want to know.
I want to derail too really quick. Has YouTube Red figured out like their thing yet? Remember, Netflix figured... Oh, they haven't.
I don't think
Amazon
figured
it out.
I don't know a single fucking person who pays for YouTube Red.
Oh, no.
I mean, if they are, it's the younger kids who, like, they have shows like, I think, whatever, there's, like, the Rhett and Link show and, like, other, like,
Good
Lily
Mythical
Singh.
Morning.
Yeah, Lily Singh has her shit on there, but I think... That's specifically for that. Those
yeah,
YouTube
it's a
kids.
Weird branding thing, right? Because Netflix was Netflix, and all the other ones are that thing. But YouTube, we associate with free and like very you know, raw content.
Exactly.
Right. So I think this is the first show that I've heard of on YouTube Red that's doing something actually somewhat interesting, because the direction they took it is not the direction you would expect them to. So Johnny, the bad guy from the first one, becomes the underdog hero of this series.
The Cobra Kai dude?
Yeah, the Cobra Kai, because like his life is so fucked up from that loss to Daniel.
Uh-huh.
He is like just a loser who never got his life together. And Daniel like is this shitty dude who like owns all these car dealerships and is like, I will chop prices to.
Oh,
so Daniel's
shit.
Like the big asshole. Johnny is like this underdog who, when students who like he comes into contact with, however, they never really figured out how to make like old men friends with young children in a way that wasn't creepy. But so he like starts up Cobra Kai again to teach these kids how to defend themselves. And Daniel's like, Cobra Kai's evil, must be stopped. And so it's a conflict between them. But I like the fact that they're, you know, going back on the whole thing. I think Karate Kid, the original, fucked me up because it just taught me that underdogs were good inherently, that I should always root for the underdog.
Right.
Whereas, like, Jason Pargin, who writes it, cracked as David Wong wrote this article about how, like, it's not fair to the people who work harder and are better
to
automatically be like, no, fuck the Cobra Kai guys. They've been working years to be good at karate, and then this, like, skinny twerp comes up and, like, starts a fight with them.
Who's, like, friends with an old gardener.
Right, and he wins, and we're like, yes, their years of work go down the drain. And I think this, like, has something to do with, like, I've always been puzzled by, I've always been a LeBron stan, like, from day one, because I think it's incredible that we have somebody who was like a child prodigy and didn't end up fucked up, was just like exactly as good as people expected him to be, even though there were like Nike and Adidas billboards just aimed directly at him when he was like 14 years old. Like, it's insane that he's not a crazy person. But people, I feel like, hate on him because he's the Johnny of the NBA. He's like the guy who was chosen, and there's just always been this like hate that I think comes from like
for LeBron.
For LeBron. Like I don't know.
People
I see
always hate the greats. I mean, in general, you know what I mean? Like you always be like, man, fuck that guy. Like, you know, it's there's part of it that it could be that sort of underdog mentality of like, oh well, you're so good that actually means you're bad,
right?
Because you must be this must be some form of evil. Supernatural chicanery that got you to this point.
And also, not all nerds are good and not all jocks are bad.
Right,
there's like
plenty
of bad nerds. And
yeah.
I like the idea, though, with this show, right, that Johnny's just a fucking loser because of that.
Right.
And then afterwards, like, I would love to, I wonder if there's a scene where he's like, look, bro, I know I was kind of addicted. Like, my parents were getting divorced. Like, I didn't really know who I was.
Right.
So, yeah, I was kind of a shitty guy. But, and Daniel's like, fuck you, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't giving you a break on this fucking Chevy Cobalt. Get the fuck out of here.
And it takes place today in 2018 with apps and everything, and they have Snapchat. And
yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
But they still keep the conceit, that old people are just like friends with middle school students and high school students, but also that the All-Valley Karate Tournament is like what determines your success in the world of Los Angeles. Like, yes, there's
MMA
the
still.
Film industry and the entertainment industry,
nah.
But more important is who wins the All-Valley Karate Tournament.
Dude, you didn't win AVKT?
Yeah,
fuck
exactly.
You, bro. Get the fuck out of here.
How many times does Rocky lose? Because Rocky is like a good story of the underdog doesn't win, right?
Yeah, he's lost, I think, in the original four, which are the only ones I count, I think he's only lost twice. He lost in the original movie, and then he loses to Clubber Lang at the beginning of three after Clubber Lang literally murders his trainer. And everyone's like, well, Clubber Lang's the new champion now, I guess. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.